Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Monday, May 29th, 2017. I'm Tom Flynn.
And I'm Sam Bowman. It was a day that will live in Portland's memory for a very long time. A warm, early summer afternoon when angry racist language devolved into murderous mayhem. The details are still emerging, but these are the facts we know. There was a confrontation on the westbound Green Line MAX train as it pulled up to the Hollywood Transit Center, in which a man was ranting about Muslims, race, and taxes in a sudden and belligerent manner. In the course of his tirade, the man focused his verbal attack on two young women who appeared to be Muslim, including one wearing a hijab, according to a police spokesman. At some point, several passengers on the train tried to intervene, and the suspect wielded a knife and killed two men and seriously wounded a third. Police identified the two men who died as 23-year-old Taliesin Mirdan Namkaimeche and 53-year-old Ricky John Best. Best of Happy Valley died at the scene, and Namkaimeche of Southeast Portland died at a hospital. Another victim who was injured in the attack was 20-year-old Micah David Cole Fletcher of Southeast Portland, who remains in a hospital with serious but non-life-threatening injuries. Fletcher is a member of the KBOO community, having been a part of the hip-hop youth collective here. We will have more in the coming days as we speak with folks here at the station who knew him or who know him. All we can say at this time is that his actions on Friday are entirely in keeping with his character and his personal fight for justice and equality.
The police arrested 35-year-old Jeremy Joseph Christian in connection with the incident, as Christian ran from the Hollywood Transit Station into the neighborhood near Providence Portland Medical Center in Northeast Portland. Christian has a criminal record that includes felony robbery, kidnapping, and weapons convictions dating back to 2002. Christian is a known white supremacist and had threatened and attempted to assault protesters at past local demonstrations. Video from a demonstration on April 29th shows Christian arriving at a free speech march in an American flag cape and carrying a baseball bat, shouting racial slurs. The stabbing shocked the city. Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler on Saturday said of the victims, "Their actions were brave and selfless and should serve as an example, an inspiration to us all." Hundreds of Portlanders showed up at a vigil Saturday night to honor the five victims of Christian's vicious words and actions. Mayor Wheeler, according to the Portland Mercury, left the vigil abruptly after a speaker brought up Terrell Johnson, a young black man shot by transit police on the MAX tracks earlier this month for supposedly threatening officers with a knife. The speaker was comparing the shooting of Johnson to the much less violent capture of Christian on Friday, as he was waving a knife and threatening anybody who approached him.
Earlier today, you, Tom, went to the Hollywood MAX station, site of Friday's tragedy, and you brought us this report.
KBOO News this morning visited the Hollywood Transit Center and talked with a few visitors who were adding to the tribute of writing and flowers that were all around. The mood was sober and the feelings were mixed. First, Miranda spoke of the mix of reaction that she felt. What's your reaction when you see this?
It's a mixed reaction of horror that there's so much hate and that it seems to be building, and also just so much hope and gratitude for the three men who stood up and said that's not okay. And I'm sure they didn't know what they were getting themselves into, but that doesn't change how brave it is. And
how do we go forward from here? What do you have any thoughts about that?
I mean, I think a lot of different little movements that need to come together in a big systemic change so that we're not split between Democrats and Republicans, because there's a lot of people living in poverty and not getting enough mental health treatment, and people choose sides between I'm either for progress or I'm conservative. I'm not saying I think that the man who killed those people had any justification, but it just doesn't serve us to keep splitting into factions, deeper and deeper,
right,
into factions. we need a way to communicate with each other and not just have a call-out culture of shaming on the internet when someone goes against your own belief system. We need, I'm going to show you how smart I am and how much, like, I mean, it doesn't serve us to have these soundbite lessons about justice. We need to hear each other's pain.
Here's Dick Morgan talking about the extent of the outpouring of feelings that were evident at the location this morning.
Did you have any thoughts about how we go forward from here? Any recommendations or ideas about that?
Well, how can we formalize the feeling that the people are putting on the wall here? You know, how can we get that to be a part of our society? You know, rather than this hate. We have to figure out how to be kind to one another, like Ellen DeGeneres says. Be kind to one another. We each have a responsibility to do that.
Finally, we spoke with a Muslim man who said he had come from East Africa some years ago. He spoke about the feelings in the Muslim community and the special peril that women face traveling now.
Was I was so dismayed to hear that two men lost their life.
Yeah.
Because over their head, you know. And I myself am Muslim, so fear someone give their life, and that is just, I was so emotional, you know. It cannot be taken, you know. I mean, there's no room in a head in Portland City, because I moved from originally from East Africa since 1990. This thing I never, you don't see in West Coast, like Washington State or Portland, you know. It's not like Midwest, like Montana or North Dakota, you know. I mean, Portland people are very friendly people, for example.
How do we deal with this in the future? What are your thoughts about how we change this situation?
The people, they need to refrain from anything of hate, you know. They need to show their mercy and love, you know.
Yeah.
I think also this is based on what's coming from Washington, D.C. I mean, basically people when we elected Donald Trump are thinking very worse, you know.
Those were voices from the Hollywood Max station, brought to us by KBOO reporter Tom Flynn. A number of crowdsourcing sites have sprung up to offer assistance for the victims and survivors of Friday's horrific attack on a Portland MAX train. Those wishing to provide support for the teenage girls who were the targets of the verbal abuse can go to www.youcaring.com. Once you're on the site, simply type Portland into the search box and go to the page marked Girls Who Survived Portland's MAX Attack. Donations will be used to help the girls recover from the trauma of the assault. Several GoFundMe sites have been set up to provide support for the families of the two who died and to help with the medical costs of the third. To contribute, go to www.gofundme.com and once again type Portland into the search box. The TriMet Heroes fundraising link is intended to provide financial assistance to the families of Ricky John Best and Taliesin Namkai Meshe, the men who died in the attack. The TriMet Hero Recovery Link was launched to help cover Micah David Cole Fletcher's medical costs and recovery expenses. Micah has been in the hospital since the attack and underwent a 2-hour surgery to remove bone fragments from his neck. Finally, the Portland Muslim Education Trust has sponsored a Launch Good fundraising page for men who went to the aid of the girls.
The Council on American-Islamic Relations is the nation's largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization. CARE is in the process of forming its first chapter in Oregon. To find out more, KABU reporter Doug McVeigh spoke with Zakir Khan, a member of the CARE Oregon Ad Hoc Committee.
My name is Zakir Khan, and I'm a member of the CARE Oregon Ad Hoc Committee. So the first thing is that the parents and the friends of these individuals who gave their lives, and also Micah, who's still alive and who's undergone some very serious surgery, they're really to be commended. They taught us all how to be parents. They taught us all how to be mentors, because they really inspired within their children, acting with social justice, standing up for others, and standing up for what's right. They really taught this, our whole country. They taught our whole country a lesson, which is that, you know, in order to stand up for the Constitution, that sometimes means that you have to stand up to hate, you have to stand up against oppression, and you have to stand up, you know, so that other people have the opportunity to live and to thrive. So that's just the first thing I want to say with regards to that. And then the second thing is that these people displayed a tremendous amount of courage, and we need to continue to honor that courage. But it's not enough to just sit and look at this incident and say, you know, they were courageous, and then I'm going to, you know, just stay in my home and not do anything. What's really important in the days that follow here is that we use their courage and their motivation to go out and commit ourselves, it really encompasses this quote that I remember RFK saying, that let us dedicate ourselves to what the Greeks wrote so long ago, to tame the savageness of men and make gentle the life of this world. And he said that in the wake of Martin Luther King being killed, unfortunately. And to me, what's really, really critical is that we really instill that, and we practice that every day in our lives, that we live with courage, and we live with compassion, and we stand up for others.
Thank you. As I say, it's not a thing a journalist should say, but at times like this, for me at least, words fail. And I cannot thank you enough for your words.
Absolutely.
Now, people want to find out more about the Council on American Islamic Relations. I know the website is cair.com. Now, an Oregon chapter will be starting up. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we're currently just finalizing some paperwork, so there should be something coming out later this summer.
That's terrific. Based in Portland, or?
We haven't figured out the primary location yet. We're still working on that because we're coordinating for the whole state, so we want to pick a location that's good for everyone in the state.
Well, I know that we would love to have you and other representatives from CARE Oregon on the news when you've got the chapter started. We would love to have you on.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
I thank you. Thank you. For KBOO News, this is Doug McVeigh.
Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler has asked the federal government in Portland to revoke a permit for a right-wing rally scheduled for this coming Sunday. The June 4th event at Terry Schrunk Plaza is billed as a free speech rally put on by a Vancouver-based right-wing activist. The last such rally he organized in Montevilla on April 29th devolved into a shouting match quickly. One of that event's loudest and most visible participants was the man who went on to commit last week's mass stabbings, as well as other incidents of hate speech and intimidation in public areas. An anti-fascist rally is scheduled to coincide with the June 4th rally at neighboring Chapman Square, according to the group Rose City Antifa. Mayor Wheeler has refused to issue a city permit for the rally on the 4th and for another event on the 10th, put together by the same organizers at the same location. That event is specifically anti-Islam. Wheeler has called on the feds to revoke the June 4th permit and to not issue a permit for the June 10th event, citing the violence-prone atmosphere of recent rallies. Terry Schrunk Plaza is owned by the federal government and is thus not entirely under the city's jurisdiction. So far, there is no word on the status of the federal permits. It's unclear if anti-fascist counter-protesters have sought a permit for their events, or for that matter, if the right-wingers will show up regardless of having a permit or not.
If those events do go forward, it will be a very busy weekend at Terry Schrunk Plaza. This Saturday, June 3rd, another rally is scheduled, this one in conjunction with other gatherings across the country, calling for a transparent, comprehensive investigation into possible collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia last year. Called the March for Truth, the Portland event was organized by members of several different organizations. I spoke with one of them, Yuen Chang, of the group Indivisible PDX, about the march and what sort of safety measures will be in place in the wake of Friday's racially motivated attack.
March for Truth will happen on Saturday, June 3rd, from 11 a.m. until 12:30 p.m., and it's going to take place in Portland at the Terry Schrunk Plaza. Currently, we have a few other groups endorsing us. We have the Alliance for Democracy, the Indivisible Guide Movement, the Washington County Resistance, as well as the Democratic Party of Washington County.
So you are with Indivisible, is that correct?
Yeah, I moved here about 5 months ago, and the result of the election was a huge wake-up call, and it hurt me a lot. I definitely felt disillusioned, depressed, and in shock. But I knew I had to transcend that energy into personal power where I can do my part to affect change. So after moving to Portland, I started researching what resistant groups that I would like to be associated with and volunteer for. And so I was looking for something that's organized, smart, sustainable, and this brought me to the Indivisible Movement. Although I have to say that as an organizer of this march, I'm representing myself, not representing Indivisible.
Going into this march on Saturday, I remember when I spoke to Lisa Stiller, one of the other organizers last time, we had just come off of a very busy week of, you know, Comey got fired, and there were other news stories coming out every day about Trump and Russia, and there's just been more of that happening. Any of these rapid changes at the federal level, is any of this having an effect on the content of this march?
As far as the content of this march, it has not changed since the last time you spoke with Lisa. We are calling for independent commission on the Russian investigation, as well as having Trump release his tax returns. And we are demanding for government to be truthful and to be transparent in many of these regards. However, since you spoke with Lisa, as we all know what happened last week on Max, the murder on Max, which is very much based on racism, based on hatred. So in terms of the March for Truth on June 3rd, we are emphasizing that this is a peaceful march and that we don't want to react to hate. We don't want to react to violence with hate and more violence. So we want to stress peace, and we want to make sure that we, all those coming out to the march, that we conduct ourselves in a way that's most respectful. And we did come out with a code of conduct, which we will be handing out when people come out to the march. We will have signs on the code of conduct.
Have you been in touch with the police bureau about any of this?
Yeah. In terms of public safety is most important. So we have been in contact with the police, and making sure that they know what's going on. And they're also monitoring all the activities here in Portland and throughout Portland all the time and very carefully. And so we are working with them in addition to working with the police to ensure peace and safety for the march. We're also working with peacekeepers as well as ACLU to, first of all, make sure that our First Amendment right is protected, but also to make sure that we have people there in case of anything that happens. We have trained people there to promote peace at the march and to ensure peace at the march.
Is there anything you would like people to bring? Are you expecting to have signs for people, or should they make their own, or?
Oh, it's always nice to kind of make your own sign so you have your own personal message. But we will have signs. There are quite a few sign-making parties that's going to happen throughout the week for this march. Make sure, you know, they bring enough water to hydrate. Code of conduct and the right spirit to bring to the march would be key.
All right. I have been speaking with Yuen Chang. She's one of the organizers of the upcoming March for Truth PDX on June 3rd in Terry Shrunk Plaza. Yuen, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much.
For KBOO Evening News, I'm Sam Bowman. The March for Truth will be taking place at Terry Shrunk Plaza this Saturday, June 3rd at 11:30 a.m. More information can be found at the Facebook page March for Truth PDX.